It's a blessing to be here tonight. I sat over there this evening just reminiscing and remembering all of your faces and the good times we've had together and some of the difficult times and the joys. And it just seems like a long time since we've been here, and it's just a real blessing to be here tonight. Real blessing. So thank you for having me. Why don't we stand together to pray before we begin? Our gracious Father in heaven, we call upon you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, you know exactly where all of us are as couples. You know every joy, you know every sorrow, you know every difficulty, you know every struggle. And Lord, you know this time has been set aside this evening for the couples to have marriage enrichment. And Father, we would just simply ask that the time that's spent here tonight would just do that. It would somehow help us all on our journey. We ask of you, Lord, that you would work in every heart. Lord, you know where everyone is and the needs that are here. And I ask, Father, that every need could be met. I also ask, Lord, that you'd take this sermon way beyond my own thoughts, way beyond what I say, but would you, by your Holy Spirit, just speak to us here tonight? We ask, God, that you'd give me a clear burden in my own heart and help me to convey the things that you would have me to convey. And ask, Lord, that your presence would just continue to be here. It's with great confidence that we open ourselves to you. Lord, your word says where two or three are gathered, you're there in their midst. And so it's with great joy that we just recognize that you're here. And we ask for your continued work here in our midst. Thank you. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Time has a way of moving on very quickly. In our own home, in our own marriage, there's a lot of change that's happened in the last number of years. There's some of you that have experienced it and some of you have not. Our home, we have 8 children, as most of you know. And just a couple of years ago, they were all at home yet. Today, there's 4 of them that are married. And there's one more that's getting married in the spring. And after that, there's only 3 left at home. There's a lot of change happening in our home. And with all that, there's a lot of home dynamics that change. Even as a husband and a wife, there's changes, different things happening. It seems like there's a continued, every new step, there's change. And all that's good. God made all that in a good way. So I'm grateful to be here tonight. Very grateful. And I trust that what I'm going to share this evening, some of the things that I believe the Lord will want us to hear, open our hearts to, or maybe things that as time has gone on in our own home, in our own marriage, the Lord has continued to work. As time goes on, you get to know each other. quite well. Recently, you know, I like to think I have a good marriage, right? Recently, I asked my wife, I said, "Honey, on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being the best and 0 being the lowest, give me a number of what you think our marriage is." Now, I'm not going to tell you what that number was. I'm going to allow you to guess, all right? But I'm not going to tell you that. But the good thing is we landed on the same number. I was afraid that we're going to be at a different place, but we landed on the same number. That's good. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. The title of the sermon tonight, I've entitled Marriage Blessings. Marriage Blessings. And the first heading that I have here tonight that I'd like to take a good look at, I've simply entitled this first heading, I've entitled Observing and Obeying God's Order for Structure in the Home. Now, I'd like to suggest that in a marriage, it's very similar to a lot of other things. I like to suggest that the closer that we shift and we move and we pattern our marriages and the way we function day to day, the closer we move to God's plan, the better our marriage is going to be. I don't know if you follow that. Now, if you look in our society today, a lot of the marriages that are in the world today, the relationships, a lot of that is geared toward emotions and feelings. And if you listen to Christian marriage counseling, Christian marriage books, Christian educators on marriage, a lot of it has to do with feelings and emotions and how to draw together, and I'm going to say there's a lot of good things. I'm not here to just throw all that in the trash. But what I like to say that there's very, very few of those teachings and the people who promote good marriages that even touch on the very foundation and the teachings that Scripture has for us in our homes. Very, very few. Very, very few. Now listen to this. Now, I know that these might be some very strong words as we read here, but it's Scripture. Now listen carefully. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it simply says this, "Wives." Now, if you're a wife here tonight, would you raise your hand? Okay, all right, thank you. This is words to you. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto who? The Lord." Whew! Now that's a mouthful. Those are some very, very strong words. Those are words that a lot of women in our society today totally disregard, walk away from, believe it's too strong, all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you that if you want to have a good marriage and you want your marriage to flourish and to function, to be Christ-like, and for your home to be a place where God is working and there's children born and children grow up and serve God, we want to obey God's pattern. Let me read that again. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Whew! That's a big one. Now, man, I'm going to get you yet later on. Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. In everything. And the husbands are sitting here and saying, I told you, honey. All right, he goes on and says, husbands, if you're a husband tonight, would you raise your hand? Okay. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. How many of you have done that? How many of you are doing that? If you're doing that, raise your hand. I want to see your hands again. How many of you are loving your wife in the way that Christ loved the church? Raise your hand. I saw a couple of hands. Now let me read that again. Husbands, this is a mouthful. Let me read this again. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave his life. Have you given your life for your wife? No. Have you? Now, do you follow what this scripture is saying? There's many. I'm just going to say this right here is the core. This right here is the core of a good marriage. And there's wonderful things that we're going to keep on talking about. But let me tell you one thing. If we miss this foundation, we have missed it all. There's a foundation here that God is wanting the home to function in. And if this is missed, you can try all kinds of techniques and things to have a good marriage, and you'll miss it. You will miss it. Husbands, let me read it again. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow. I should maybe spend a lot more time on that, but I'll leave that. Oh, but did you get the point? Did you all get the point? Did you? Did you get the point? Men's responsibility. Men, it's your responsibility to walk with God. Now let me tell you something. Men, if I'm seeking God, and if I'm the one that's praying and seeking God and fasting and seeking God for the future and seeking God for my home, this is what my wife says. She comes, she says, it makes me feel secure. It makes me know that you really care. If I know that you're seeking God for the welfare of me and the children and our home, it makes me feel secure. Men, walk with God. Men, it's your responsibility to lead the home. Men, it's your responsibility to be teaching in your home, your wife, and your children. Men, it's your responsibility to be watching over. Men, it's your responsibility to be listening to your wife without saying much. Men, it's your responsibility to be nurturing your wife and your children And there'd be a spiritual nourishment, a spiritual atmosphere in your home. Men, it's your responsibility to provide for the natural needs financially and to supply a stable and secure environment in the home for your wife, for your children. And men, it ought to be your goal that she is your best friend. We have some other friends, right? It's God's will that your wife is your best friend. Your best friend. There's no one else that I open up and share in the way that I do with my wife. Women. Women, it's your responsibility to submit to your husband. It's your responsibility to be there and assist and be a support to your husband. It's your responsibility, wives, to be at a place where you support and that your husband knows that you're there. And the decisions that he makes, your heart is with him. Your support is with him. And that you're there and that you're willing to follow your husband. Wives, it's your responsibility to keep the home. Wives, it's your responsibility to guide the children in the absence of your husband. And there ought to be a loyalty and a trust between you in a great, great manner and way, loyalty and trust in that relationship. I like to relate a little account in Scripture that talks about loyalty. And it's a little bit different account, but consider with me the account in the book of Esther, where Esther was a queen and her people, the Jews, were in jeopardy of all being killed, including her own life. And when she heard about these things, her uncle Mordecai, he was there, and all the conflict that was going on between Haman and Mordecai, and Mordecai sent for Esther. And he sent for Esther and he told her, Esther, Would you please go and put a plea in for our people? And there was a loyalty that was there between Esther and her people. There was a loyalty that she expressed. All the Jews were fasting. She said, have all the Jews fast, make a day of prayer and fasting, and I'm going to go before the king and I'm going to plead for our lives. But I'd like to just share with you, there was a loyalty that she expressed that day. And I'd like to share, women, there ought to be a loyalty toward your husband in that same way. A loyalty and a trust. Here's another heading I'd like to look at. Giving your husband respect. Now, some time ago, my wife and I and her family, we were at a restaurant in some distant state. And as we were eating, we noticed a family walk in the front door, then went over and found a seat. And we realized that they were some conservative people. And of course, in this community, we don't know anyone. And so, after we were finished eating, or partway through, I make my way over, and I come up to their table, and I ask them who they are, ask them their names, and I look at the man and start conversing. And as I start conversing, there's an immediate response coming from the wife. And then I again ask some questions to the husband, And there is an immediate response from the wife. And I kept on talking, and it wasn't very long that this husband, I could just see him wilt away in his seat, and he quit talking. There's a wife there that had, I'm going to say, almost no respect for her husband. And I'm confident if you would go and talk to that lady, that conservative Anabaptist lady, I'm sure if you could talk with her, she would have a fair amount to say how her husband is not a leader in the home. I'm confident of that. But I'm just going to say that there was a lot going on. I could immediately tell that there was zero respect from that sister to her husband. Sisters, your husbands need to be respected. Your husband needs honor and respect. He needs to be looked at as his ability to lead and guide the home and to be able to have conversations. And let me just tell you what I observed that day. I'm just going to say that the level of respect was very, very, very low for her husband that day. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6 says these words, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whew! Has any of you men, I'll ask you men, has any of your wives ever called you Lord? Well, mine hasn't either. But you get the message? What's the message? There's a tremendous amount of respect that Sarah had toward her husband, Abraham. She had a tremendous amount of respect toward her husband, Abraham. She called him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now here's another heading I want to look at just quickly. Giving honor to your wife. Giving honor to your wife. Honor means to value. Honor means to give respect or give honor because of due rank. Or who she is. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says these words, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now I'd like for us to consider a minute what this honor means. Honor. Husbands, honor. Give honor to your wife. Honor to your wife. This word, honor, is also used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23 where it says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. So it's saying that within the church, within the local body, there's some that we deem to be more honorable and some that we deem to be less honorable. Now, that's maybe a mouthful, but this is what the word says. Among us, there's some that we naturally esteem higher and we give more honor to, and some that we give less honor to. Now, it also says here that the reason that we give more abundant honor to some is because there are some that don't have as much ability. And when there isn't as much ability, or maybe there's, actually this is what it says. And upon these, in verse 23, and those members of the bodies which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now just consider the brotherhood here. If you're very, very honest, there are some within this brother, within this brotherhood that you look at and you're like, ooh. And in your heart, you lift them up. You're like, that's they're honorable. Okay, that's it right there. Husbands, that's what you ought to be doing to your wife. That's it right there. Okay, that's it. Where you lift up your wife in your heart, you lift her up. There's some husbands that look down upon their wives. There's some husbands that don't treat their wives very kindly and nicely. But the word here says that we are to bestow more abundant honor, or we are to honor our wives. Husbands, lift them up in your hearts. Lift them up. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife. Oh, what a blessing. Now, I want to just go on and very quickly look at another heading. And I have called this heading, Making Investments into Your Relationship. Making investments into your relationship. Now, how many of you use a checkbook at all? Most everyone. Maybe there are some that use only electronic, but mostly everyone knows how this works, okay? Right? So, you go and put money into the bank, right? Put money into the bank. Am I right? And when there's money in the bank, you can write out a check. Am I saying it right? Okay, tell you. So, you know, you get paycheck, you get money from your employer or from your business, whatever, and you go and you put money into the bank. Then you turn around and you write checks. Right? You write checks. And am I right that there's a place that the balance comes lower and lower? And when the balance comes lower and lower, you come to a place where it overdraws. Has anyone ever had an overdraft? Anyone? Yep. Yeah, a whole bunch. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. So there's a bunch of you here that know what I'm talking about. You put money in the bank, then you write out checks, and all of a sudden that balance comes lower, lower, lower. And it goes in overdraft, then you get this notice from the bank. Now, I'd like to just talk about that a bit. There's a lot of men here this evening that are running where that balance in your checkbook is right at the point of being overdrawn. Right at that balance. And there's many of you here that on occasionally you're putting some money into your wife. You're putting some time into your wife. You're making some investments. And you might have some, half an hour with her here and a half hour there, and you might take her out and have a little meal with her and spend some time with her, and she's all happy and she's excited, and that checking account keeps growing. It keeps growing, and it moves on up. And as it moves up, you men, now, maybe you're not like me. You might not be like me. But many times, when that checking account has gone up pretty good and pretty strong, then all of a sudden, us men, our attention goes elsewhere. And all of a sudden, we're doing all kinds of other stuff, and we forget the balance in the checkbook, and that balance in the checkbook with you and your wife, it keeps going down, and it keeps going down, and it keeps going down. And one day, you come home to discover that your wife is crying and you come home to discover there are things going on in home, and you have no idea the struggles that are going on in your wife because your checkbook is overdrawn. You've wrote out half a dozen more checks, and they're bouncing one after the other, and you're getting these notices in the mail, you know, $35 charge and another $35 charge, and everything is against you. I mean, do you follow what I'm talking about? Do you get it? Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced that? Well, only half of you have. Okay. There's the point, brothers. Brothers, you and I need to be at a sensitive place. And we need to know where a wife is. And we need to know what level that she's running on. And we need to know that we have made enough deposits. And we need to know that there's a connection going on. And that balance is good at a good, stable place. Because let me just tell you, when that balance goes below zero, there's trouble in the home. You get that? When that balance goes below zero, there's a lot of trouble at home. There's a lot of trouble at home. Here's another heading that I put on here. I simply put it on here as drawing close. As a husband and wife, drawing close. Now, a couple of years ago, my wife were in some distant state. Her and I, we'd gone to a wedding, and then we went on a bit of sightseeing. And prior to us going, we made that this trip was going to be a time when we spent more time than normal. So one of the things that we did on this trip is something that we've never done in our whole marriage. Now, Martha and I have been married for 29 years now. 29 years, and I know some of you are way beyond that. Praise the Lord. But we've been married for 29 years. But we've never done what I'm going to describe to you. Back early on when Martha and I were courting and seeing each other. She was in a distant state. And we would write letters to each other. Now back in those days, there wasn't any cell phones. And there wasn't any texting. And there wasn't any emailing. So we wrote to each other snail mail. So every week, she would write two letters to me. From Missouri, there's two letters that came my way, and there's one letter that went her way. And those were very special letters. And so at home, we have this little box where we have all these letters. And in our whole marriage, we had never gone back and just read them all. So on that trip, we were out seeing all the nice deserts, and we came to this lake, and this nice huge vast lake, and on the shore there was these picnic tables, and it was just what we were looking for. So we brought out of the car this little box, and we started at the beginning. We looked at the dates, put them all in order, and then we went through and we read them. One by one, we read them. And it revealed to us the things that were going on in our life back in those days. And then we sat there and saying, do you remember how we used to talk about that, the visions for the future, you know, our goals, our ambitions? And then we sat there just talking, have we met them? Have we met them? You know, 25, 26 years later, we sat there. Have we met them? As we were going through there, I'm going to say there's probably 90% of the things that we, ambitions and our goals, we hadn't met. But there was a couple that we looked at and said, we're not sure that we're quite there. And so we talked. How do we get there? What do we do? And how do we get to those goals? Right? Okay. Isn't that drawing together in heart? Okay. There was a drawing together that was going on. There's a vision for the continued future. There is a communicating together. There are things going on in our heart. Beautiful things. I won't tell you the rest. Just leave it at that. Beautiful things. Here's another heading. Accepting your spouse the way that he or she is. Accepting her or accepting him. Now, I'm going to say a lot of marriages that between the husband and the wife, there's a bit of continued conflict that continues to happen because there's maybe expectations that the husband has or expectations that the wife has, and they haven't been met. And there's a continued, maybe almost like a burr under the saddle. And there's a continued sort of an inner conflict. Now, I like to suggest that if you're going to have a good marriage, as a husband and wife, both of you are going to need to come to the place where there's a level of acceptance that needs to be extended to your wife or to your husband right where they are. I want to say that carefully because we all want to grow. I'm not wanting to throw that away. But for many, there's a continued level of a struggle. Now, I have to tell you something that happened. And the reason that I say this is because of just showing you how God can change hearts. Now, back before Martha and I got married, there are some interesting things that were happening back in those days. And her and I were in the same church. We knew each other fairly well. And she didn't like me. She didn't like me. And I'm going to say something here that I'm not encouraging you all to do or encouraging your youth to do, but it happened to us, okay? Now, with all that, you know, somehow I was grinding to her. I'm not sure. I don't know all those dynamics, but there was something going on there that she just didn't like me. And so I was going my merry way, and she was going her merry way. And one night when she came, she knelt down to pray before she went to bed. As she was praying, God came to her, and he said, "Would you be willing to marry Mark?" She didn't like me. And she prayed and she said, "Oh, God, I want to be willing." She didn't commit to anything. Okay, there's nothing in her mind that she, you know, there's nothing going on. So she went her merry way. And the next night when she knelt to pray, she knelt down, the same thing again. The same thing. And she didn't like me. She literally didn't like me. And I forget, it was either two or three nights. And finally, She told God this. She said, God, if you give me a love for him, if you want me to marry him, you have to give me a love for him. And she said, I want to obey you, but if you want me to marry him, you have to give me a love for him. Well, just pretty soon after that, the whole thing just flipped. All right. Here's the point. The point is, that's what needs to happen. For many, even within a marriage, that thing, there's a grinding going on, and there's a love that you can have for each other, but you just continue to allow that to grind. And did you follow that? And let me just tell you, husbands and wives, there's a need for you to just lay down your own, whatever you may say, and just accept your spouse and ask God to love him or her, and that he would just draw you together. And that's special and that's sweet. And to get the point, God can just do that. But there needs to be a surrender, a giving, accepting. I don't know what all happened. You know, I don't know what all happened, but I mean, you know, she tells me this, that when I finally ask her out that very first date, she could have told me, yes, I'll marry you. That's how convinced she was in her heart. All right, now, let me just tell you this. I'm not here to promote the girls have that experience, because I've seen it, and girls have had all kinds of negative experiences because they've committed themselves and nothing happened and men went off and married other things, okay? If you follow, I discourage that actually, but that's what happened. But the point is, brothers and sisters, God wants to just do that, just that flip. God wants to just do that. When that happens, sweet things happen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says these words. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now you men, if you're a man, I know that there's times that your wife does things and on the inside there's a grinding going on. Men, am I right? There's times your wife does things and inside there's grinding going on. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And the wives all said amen to that. Here's another heading. Reacting against each other. Reacting against each other. Quite a number of years ago in our earlier marriage, this went on for a couple of years in our marriage until we figured out what was going on. And I distinctly remember being out of state, traveling home on a Sunday afternoon or evening. And as Martha and I were talking and discussing, I brought up the idea of, hey, honey, it's been a while since we've done something. We should do something special. When does it work for us to go out on a little date? And I could count on it that every time that I said that, she would have a response. And let me tell you what the response was. The response that she gave was, yeah, that'd be nice, but our children, we just haven't spent a lot of time with our children recently. And guess what would happen? In my heart, I'd feel like, but yeah, well, maybe, but for me, I knew we needed to have time together, and she must not want it.
She must not want to spend time. But that Sunday evening, afternoon and evening, we had a conversation together in a way that sort of opened the door for us in a way that it had never before. And let me explain what happened there that afternoon. I realized all of a sudden that God had given her a burden for our children, and He had given me a burden for our relationship. And I tended to notice the one with her and I quicker, and she noticed, and she was the one that would notice the one with her and the children quicker. And truth is, when I would say that, she would, and she'd give her response, it made me feel like, well, you really don't care, like, right? But that afternoon, we had a conversation that we both came to understand that that's a strength that she has, and that's a strength that I have. And in the future, when I say that, or she says that, we're going to choose to not be offended at that. But she's going to be more careful when she says that, and I'm going to be careful that if she says that I won't feel offended. And do you follow? And there's something that happened that afternoon that I'm going to say helped our hearts just draw closer together. We understood how that we're made differently, and we carry burdens in a little bit different way, and it's meant to help each other, and it's meant to draw our hearts together as a couple and our hearts as a family. And prior to that, when it happened, it would sort of irk us. It was like sand. It was like, I don't know. Are you following what I'm trying to say? But that afternoon, when we discussed and we shared that, there's something that happened that since then, I'm not saying it's never happened, but when those things happen, we both think, we understand, we connect, and our hearts have continued to do this. Because we understand, we actually appreciate the other's burdens, right? Right? That's a blessing. Here's another heading. Understanding your wife's emotions. Understanding your wife's emotions. And I'm sure all of you have this all figured out already and are doing well with it. You're probably doing better at it than I am. But I like to describe quite a number of years ago on a Sunday evening after dark, driving home from church, and our children were quite small yet. And there are things on my wife's heart, and as we were driving down the road toward home, she was sharing her struggles with me, and we were discussing and sharing. And I can tell you exactly where we were on this little road heading toward home. And as I listened and I listened, my head was spinning with all kinds of wonderful ideas. There's wonderful things that were going on in my heart. I just knew what would help the situation. And listening, and I asked more questions, listen. And then she stopped a little bit. Then I gave her a suggestion. And guess what happened? She started crying much more than she did before. And I knew I had done the wrong thing. And I said, honey, I'm sorry. Husbands, most of the times our wives simply want us to be listening. I've tried to understand already, sometimes she wants answers. Sometimes she doesn't need answers, she just wants to be heard. And I've asked her, so how do I know the difference? And we've come to a very good agreement on that. If I'm not sure, I'll just ask her, do you need answers or do you just need me to listen? And that works really, really good. That works very, very well. Do you need answers or do you just need me to listen? All right? I learned that night. That night in the dark on the way home on, it's a very sharp curve. It was an S curve. You know, Holmes County, we have all those S curves and all kinds of things. That's where it happened. I remember that. Husbands and wives. Here's another heading that says, never embarrass her or him publicly. Never. Never. Never embarrass her or him publicly. I don't do it. Never. I'm very sad at times when I see husbands and wives doing these little jokes. Sometimes in the presence of their wife or husband, and sometimes privately with their friends. And let me tell you, it's wrong. It's wrong. Never embarrass each other with other people. Never. That's sometimes done with making remarks that expose their faults. Sometimes it's done with remarks that belittle their character. And let me tell you that when those embarrassing things happen, it destroys confidence in each other and it pushes you apart. It really does. And Satan loves to use that to destroy marriages. Friends, enjoy each other and have a good time together. I like to suggest that between a husband and wife, it ought to be a desire of the heart of both husband and wife, that there would be a drawing together of hearts between husband and wife, that it's just a joy to be together. Now, I'm going to say that times have changed a bit in our home, but for many, many years, when our children were younger and I didn't have as much responsibility, there's a lot of things that we did together, like going and getting groceries together. It seems like some of those things have changed with responsibilities, but we enjoy just being together. Enjoy being together, traveling together, being in each other's presence, just doing things together. Husbands and wives ought to be best friends. I mean, I'm shocked at times at how so many have friends out there and then their relationships in their own homes and with their spouses has so many lacks and so many faults and it's in such bad repair. But within our home, with husband and wife, we ought to be best friends. We ought to be best friends. Husbands and wives, if you want to have a good marriage, there is a need for you to let go of your parents. Scripture says that A man and a wife should leave their father and mother and be joined together, and they twain shall be one flesh. And in order for there to be a drawing together, and in order for there to be a loyalty together, there's a certain amount of loyalty that needs to be let go of with your parents. And even though there ought to be an honoring and a respecting and a lifting up of your parents and all those kind of things and relationship with your parents, that loyalty has to be greater between husband and wife. Between husband and wife. Now, this next heading that I want to give, I know is a bit private at times. I want to talk just very, very briefly about a physical relationship between husband and wife. Or the need of it. Husbands, I want to ask you a question about your wife. How much does your wife have a need for you to listen to her? Does she? How great is that need? Is that need pretty great? Is that need pretty great? Let me show you how great that need is. Some time ago, there's some people came to me for help, a couple. Her leadership brought them for some help, and they weren't from our local congregation, but the leadership had been trying to work with the situation, and it was in pretty dire straits. The wife was very, very, very heavy. In fact, the husband didn't believe that she was even converted. And there is a great strain between the husband and wife. Big wall, big strain. And we sat there listening, asking a lot of questions and trying to help them sort through. And after listening for hours, I asked this question. And evaluating, ask this question, wife, do you feel like your husband really listens to you? She said, no. Has he ever heard you or understood you? She said, no. They've been married for 20 years. Ask, what do you think would happen with your relationship together if you would feel like he really hears what you're trying to say? She said, well, I think it would make a difference. So we talked with the husband there for a while, giving him some instruction how to respond. And we talked about how to do that, and we talked for 15 minutes. And then I asked him the question. I asked him this. Okay, so tell me this. If you go home, how do you do it? Or how should you do it? How are you going to do it now? Put his head down and said, I don't know. And I realized that there's a missing link. That even with me talking and trying to help him understand, he still wasn't getting it. I asked him, would it help you if we write on a paper some things for you to do and how to communicate and how to actually listen to her? And he said, yeah. So got out a paper and made a long list of things that he can do in trying to listen to her. Well, the interesting thing is that some time went by. I talked to their leaders, and one day I met up with a couple. And you would not believe the expression on her face was drastically different. After 20 years, he started listening to her. And there's a light came on in her eyes like you would not believe it. I mean, the Mary just... All right. Now, husbands, how do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, so this is what I'm trying to communicate. I'm trying to communicate that your wife actually has a need in that area. That is a need. I don't know, do you follow what I mean by need? This is not a want. This is a need. And if you love your wife, you are going to give that to your wife. Listen to her. Now, I'm going to flip that around. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but men, how would it be? I want to say this very carefully and gracefully. Men, how would it be if you would be married to your wife and live in the same house and you wouldn't have sex for 6 months? How would that be? How would that be? You're like, whew. Okay, do you men follow what I'm trying to say? Okay, sisters, I'm going to suggest that the men have a need of a physical relationship in the same way that you sisters have a need to talk. I don't know if you follow that. I know that's a mouthful, but that's how it works. Sisters have a need for us husbands to listen, to understand, to be heard in a way that us men don't. We don't. We don't have that need. But us men have a need in a different area. Now, I like to just suggest that if you want to be a blessing to each other, you will fill those needs for each other in those areas. Do you follow that? You'll fill the needs of your spouse in those areas. And I'm going to say that if you sisters, if your husband doesn't listen to you for a long time, you get shriveled up and you get cranky and grouchy and all kinds of stuff. Men, I know you do too. Right, man? Okay, do you follow? I like to suggest that there's a need on both sides. And men, if you want to fill your wife's needs and make her happy, you open your ears and you take time for her. And men, if you want to make your husband happy, fill his needs. Fill his needs. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 says this, drink waters out of your own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe, let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love. Husbands and wives, our marriage and the sweetest fulfillments that we'll ever have between us is a picture of Christ in the church. It's a picture of Christ in the church. The more that our hearts draw together, and the more that the grace of God flows in our hearts, And the more we meet each other's needs and we love and we find our place in our home, the love and grace of God in our hearts we draw together. That is a picture of Christ and the church. And you don't see it in many places. You don't see it in many places. But it can be here with you all. You profess to be a Christian. I have one more question for you all. For you men, who do you think is the most spiritual? You or your wife? Who's the most spiritual? Wives, do you think you're more spiritual than your husband? Sometimes she thinks she is, and sometimes he thinks he is. Okay, now I want to make a point with that. If we think we're spiritual, we ought to be the first to open our hearts, forgive, for us to open our hearts, to die to ourselves, and to be Christ-like. That's really being spiritual. And we're both saying we want to be spiritual, right? And if we're both being spiritual and both of us doing that, we're going to have good relationships. We're going to have good relationships. So Lord bless you. Trust God can take this and help us all step forward.
Yeah.